It has been another long week. We have talked about Confederate monuments, hate watching, and gerrymandering. And as we do every Friday, it's time to take a breath. We have a group of smart people with us. We're going to kick back a little, unwind, and think about what the heck happened since Monday. It's time for the break room.
Maybe she did send me one. Maybe she did send me a Valentine, and it didn't get here till today. Maybe it's in our mailbox right now.
Not letting you in, pig! I'm gonna show up to work, have everybody be like, why is there blood all over you? Because I had to slit the guy's throat who causes all the traffic!
America doesn't need a big parade to convince the world that it has a military. Trust me, the world knows America has a military. It's in their countries right now.
Joining us in the break room, we have Natalie Pavelski, Vice President of Cater Communications. Tamika DePriest is Senior Director of Marketing at Emory University. Stephen Turkheimer, lawyer, editor for Georgia Poll, and Greg Williams, host of the conservative radio show Greg's List. Welcome to Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
You survived another one.
So far.
Remember how the Super Bowl was just last weekend? There was Super Bowl ad that is still causing some controversy. Chrysler ran an ad for trucks that featured the voice of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness.
The new definition of greatness is a Ram truck. So do we think that this ad was in poor taste, or was it a sincere tribute?
I saw the ad, and I have to say, it just felt strange. The first thought that entered my head was, is this appropriate? But I know that the image is tightly managed and that it was approved, but my gut said this is going to create a brouhaha.
Says the marketing director, yeah.
Yeah, a major fail, especially because it's the same sermon in which Dr. King criticized exactly this type of advertising and the moral hazards of capitalism. Right.
And literally mentions trucks
specifically.
I think it's, you know, very risky to try to profiteer off of, you know, an icon like MLK. We saw that with the blowback from the Dodge commercial, also with, you know, Democrat gubernatorial candidate Stacey Evans did something that caused quite the stir on that side of the aisle with, taking video at Ebenezer Baptist. So I just think it's a difficult area to try to tread in and take advantage of his,
It's maybe a different thing between politics and selling products, though,
yeah,
right?
I'll go the other way. And I eagerly await Mahatma Gandhi telling me to go to McDonald's, because I feel like I just need that little push to resume my...
him saying, I would fast except for McDonald's.
Right, it kind of sounds like vegan burger now, I think.
I got this whole thing wrong, guys.
I would have broken my fast for some fries.
Yeah.
McDonald's vegan burger is amazing.
Yep, see?
All right, I'm not even going to comment on that. In its effort to fight propaganda, YouTube has taken some steps, and one of them is they have grouped PBS and NPR into the same category as RT. Now, RT is a news outlet that is literally sponsored by the Russian government. Do you think of PBS and NPR as state media, state propaganda?
Oh, no, this is so wrong. I mean, I'm a former journalist, and RT is state propaganda.
Yeah.
NPR and PBS adhere to the highest standards of journalism. I mean, if you want to look at where their funding comes from, 2% of NPR's budget and about 15% of PBS's come from
2%.
2%.
But, you know, all you have to do is listen for 10 minutes, and it's very clear that NPR and PBS are not propaganda. This is a very strange decision.
Right, and the goal of these networks, the goal of Russia Today, the goal of Sputnik is to rend us from the inside, right? Which is not the goal of NPR, I don't think.
Yeah, the biggest difference is, where does the programming come from? So I think the programs on NPR, GPB, they operate with a sense of autonomy. Otherwise, I would never be on a show like this. So we are quite happy that y'all are able to pick your guests and not have edicts from a state organization or a bureaucracy. That's, to me, the biggest difference is y'all have freedom of expression, and you prove it every day.
I feel like if we were state propaganda, the lawmakers wouldn't hate us.
Yeah, but there'd be lots of control in terms of the content and everything else.
Yeah.
And so,
mm-hmm.
Well, and it's weird because we do have a similar organ, which is Voice of America, right? Which is in that category. Though, even though I, I don't think Voice of America is the same as
they also
as
have
Russia.
A lot of bit of, mostly editorial autonomy. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
I agree, but it's like even if you're going to put something there, why NPR? You should, if you're going to overcorrect, why don't you just put Voice of America in there? I just don't even understand how they ended up in that result.
Yeah, with the educational thrust, I totally agree with that thought. I mean, I often think of the school districts and the universities that these NPR affiliates are attached to, and so yeah.
PBS, yeah, you'd have to put, what's Daniel Tiger as state propaganda?
I think we're unanimous on this, right? Yeah. NPR is not state propaganda.
And the thing is, it's a missed opportunity because we do need greater media literacy in this country. People do need to understand that everything they hear or everything they read isn't necessarily true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, consider the
and
source.
Helping
yeah.
people discern that would be helpful, but this is just weird.
Yep.
Well, then let's try and maybe go to a subject that we won't all agree on, Valentine's Day. It's coming up next week in case you haven't purchased the chocolates or the card. Do you do Valentine's Day?
I made you all cards.
Ooh, mine says I get 1,000 kisses. Give me some sugar, mama.
1,000.
Don't short me, woman.
Louise, read your card now.
I don't really celebrate Valentine's Day. It's an invented holiday, you know.
Read it.
Fine, fine.
Okay, so some people really hate this holiday. They say it was created by greeting card sellers and candy and flower sellers, and it doesn't have very much to do with St. Valentine, and why do we need it anyway? So who's at the table? We have Valentine's Day lovers or haters?
Oh, we have a Valentine's Day traitor. I mean, for the most of my life, I thought if you're in love, you don't need to be reminded of it. If you're not in love, you don't want to be reminded of it. And it's cruel to stick a heart-laden holiday in the middle of February. It's cold, it's dark, everybody feels fat and unlovable. Horrible. But then I got married and we had a little girl. And my husband always makes sure to get her flowers as well as me. And it just melts my heart. I can't help it, Celeste. I like Valentine's now.
Motherhood has made you a big softy.
So I'm one of those people who have really looked at Valentine's and some other holidays as, you know, sort of strategies for, you know, capitalism and, you know, make me spend all my money, just creative ways to spend my money every month. But I have to admit, it's situational with me. So when I'm in a relationship, I observe it. No chocolates and stuff like that, but I do give the person a gift and usually get one. And when I'm not, then it's just another ordinary day.
I don't know what's happened to you guys. Like, this is so transactional, right? It's like someone gets flowers and now I'm for it. I want the
flowers every day.
Well, sure, but then we can't. I don't know. Okay, I don't know how to respond to that. I will say that Valentine's Day is very difficult because you're not really sure what to do on it and all of this kind of stuff. And if you want a reservation, everyone else is getting a restaurant reservation at the same time. We could be cool about this, guys, and just like, you know, take people out to dinner sometime in February, get some stuff. You don't have to get in line for all the roses and like fight with other dudes for roses. Like, we don't need to do this. We're creating this artificial scarcity of love in the middle of February. We don't need to do that. Just do it all year, right?
I'm a Valentine's Day stoic, but we are going out on Tuesday, February 13th.
Yeah.
So we're not going out on amateur night, which would be Wednesday the 14th. And I like to buy my wife like cool things. I bought her a flat screen TV last year. She loves it. This year, I think we're getting her a tool set. So it's a lot of really...
A tool set? Uh-huh. He's mind boggled.
He's making a joke. He's being funny.
And I'm cracking up.
I do like the idea that Valentine's Day is the Black Friday of love.
Yes. You know? Can I just insert a little bit of NPRism into all of this?
Because as long as it's not dictated from the state,
if you check into the origins of Valentine's Day, which NPR very, very gleefully has done, it started with the first feast of Lupercalia, and this is when men in Rome would sacrifice both a goat and a dog, and then they whipped women with the hides of the animals they had just slain.
We've changed that practice.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
And then dinner?
Natalie, are we headed back to the other side?
Nothing whets an appetite like doing a sacrifice before dinner.
Especially of a dog. And then the one historian said the Roman romantics were drunk, they were naked.
That sounds kind of fun, actually.
Oh.
Toga parties?
They included a matchmaking lottery in which young men drew the names of women from a jar.
Oh, that's
so like The Bachelor. Oh.
It's
cool.
All going downhill.
I'd like to point out that I was the only one here that was anti-Valentine's Day, and I've been totally vindicated.
Original intent, yes, you have been vindicated. Totally.
If you would like to read about the dark origins of Valentine's Day, go to npr.org and look up The Dark Origins of Valentine's Day. And you can see it all on its own. But Stefan, does your mind change when you're in a committed relationship?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
then you buy the flowers.
I don't buy roses because I'm not a cliche. I'm just kidding, y'all. It's all right. But I'm just saying I don't do it. And yeah, I go out to dinner, but not necessarily on Valentine's Day. Right. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going out to Valentine's Day and like fighting other dudes for roses. I've done that. But you don't have to.
You're like a Valentine's Day ninja. You go out on every day, not Valentine's.
And I don't sacrifice goats and dogs like the rest of the people at this table.
Do you wait for February 15th and get cut-rate roses?
Cut-rate roses? Who are you talking to? No. I buy entirely different flowers.
And it's important to remember Valentine's Day occurs during Black History Month, so maybe Frederick Douglass should be, maybe it should be St. Frederick Douglass. Was he a romantic figure? Not really.
I can't see him with a little bow and arrow with the heart on it.
I mean,
in a diaper.
Maybe we could. No. I mean,
he
you
did
could,
have two
you
wives.
Could have, dignified for so, that.
I don't think we should profiteer off of his
yeah.
image.
Are you suggesting that MLK should be selling roses? I don't think that's correct.
I don't.
No, did I get that
wrong? We're going more like Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman selling roses, and that is way wrong.
Well, we are clearly in the Dodge category right now, going downhill.
Yeah.
That happens so often in the break room. Happy Friday, everyone. We are in the break room. Just ahead, we're going to talk about Super Bowl halftime entertainment. Is it terrible? Is it great? Atlanta traffic, we know what that one is. And President Trump's plans for a big military parade to rival Kim Jong-un's. It's coming next from On Second Thought.
I really can't wait for that topic. I'm actually overly prepared for that one.
She can say in her voice, in her way, that she love me. With her eyes, with her smile, with her belt, with her hands, with her money. I am the thesis of her prayers. Her nieces and her nephews are just pieces of the layers. Only one she love as much as me is Jesus Christ and Taylor. I got a feature song singing for my grandma. You sing it too, but your grandma ain't my grandma. Mine's handmade, pan fried, sun dried, south side. And beat the devil by a landslide. Praying with a hands tied. President of my fan club, Santa. Something told me I should bring my
budget.
This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. It is Friday. That means we're having some coffee and some conversation in the break room. My guest today, Stefan Turkheimer, lawyer, editor for George Poll, Greg Williams of the radio show Greg's List, Tamika DePriest of Emory University, and Natalie Pavelski of Cater Communications. Okay, let's go back to the Super Bowl one more time. Justin Timberlake is now officially the only artist to ever play the Super Bowl halftime three times.
Minneapolis!
Yeah, I don't think he gets enough credit for being the one who brought sexy back. There is a huge backlash against the singer, though. The Washington Post wrote, quote, "The show is almost over, and then it is, and a feeling of togetherness washes over us, a feeling of certainty that we all just witnessed something unambiguously underwhelming." And that is nothing compared to what people wrote on Twitter. Was it really that bad?
It wasn't horrible, but it left me with a distinct meh. And I've seen Justin Timberlake do a good show. Like when he opened the Oscars, was that last year? It was really compelling, and he can dance, he can sing, and kind of got you up. This was just kind of eh.
So I had a totally different reaction. I was dancing the whole time. I did, though, stop at one point and say, this is like a concert. It seemed to be going on, like, extra long. And so I understand I'm an outlier. But I kind of enjoyed
it.
But then I think it reflects my age, too, right? Maybe.
You're not that old.
I'm not.
Yeah, the sound quality was bad. I think we're seeing that these mega billionaire stadiums are really not good for acoustics, right? Mercedes-Benz has had huge problems. The Garth Brooks this acoustics was supposedly way off. And this was, I mean, it sounded like we were listening to it through like a tin can or something, the sound. I was also wondering where Left Shark was. I think if we'd had Left Shark, it would have totally improved.
What you will. Katy Perry's show was
It was awesome.
Phenomenal. And then to come right after Lady Gaga.
Well, right, exactly. Yeah. But clearly, I think what needs to happen is an NSYNC reunion. Don't you think?
He's just missing his
compatriots.
And those guys weren't doing anything else. I am sure they would have been available Super Bowl Sunday.
I really miss Janet Jackson, and I was hoping for like a surprise pop-up
Yeah. Instead, the only wardrobe malfunction was JT's shirt, right?
Well, yeah, that was awful. Yeah. What was that?
I can agree with you.
Well, when Beyonce played the halftime, she had a Destiny's Child reunion, so I think a lot of people were expecting NSYNC. Okay, so let's continue the conversation about halftime, because Bruno Mars, after the Justin Timberlake show, said on Twitter that what the NFL needs to do is invite a bunch of Atlanta hip-hop artists to perform at next year's halftime. Would you want to see Outkast, T.I., Ludacris? Would you want to see all those guys at the big game?
Yes! Oh, my God. Hey, why is there such a delay here?
Outkast probably has a couple songs that don't have curse words. I mean, I just think it's going to be very difficult for some of their mega hits to be family-friendly.
They have radio versions of the songs.
Right. Yeah, so but can they perform the radio version live, though?
I think they can. But let me say this. That's sort of my generation hip-hop. And what I would say is they've got to add Migos and 2 Chainz.
Well, and bro country. They definitely need some bro country.
Where are the women? What about Ciara?
Yes.
I mean, it can't be all guys.
Yes.
And on a related note, if any of them say ho in any of the songs, I'm turning them off.
Hold on a second. It should be Janelle Monae, though, shouldn't it?
I take her.
Right?
I take her,
too. But let me just point out, I think we're being a little too kind to Bruno Mars, who may or may not be the second coming of Justin
Timberlake.
I'd
like to see him.
His halftime show was awesome.
What he actually suggested was those guys plus Jermaine Dupri. So I'm asking you, when was the last time Bruno Mars, other than his own work, heard a new song?
Heard a new song from Jermaine Dupri?
No, heard a new song in general, right? It's all sort of 50s doo-wop. I kind of think he hasn't heard music in a while. This is what I'm suggesting.
Okay. All right. Well,
maybe he's having a throwback. Experience with this music.
People could jam to Hey Ya.
A 90s reunion could be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I just thought of another one too. DeBrat.
Clearly, there's a lot. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Clearly, there's a lot of passion about this. If you out there in the listening public want to suggest who from Atlanta should play in a Super Bowl halftime, we want to hear from you. You know how to reach us, 404-500-9457, or find us on Facebook.
And besides the Falcons, of course, right?
Twitter. Yeah, okay. Childish Gambino?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Celeste.
Okay. Let's move on to something completely different. Okay, switch gears here. During the trial for a convicted child molester, Larry Nassar, one dad listened to all three of his daughters describe their assaults at Nassar's hands, and he lost his temper. He lunged at Nassar and very nearly punched him in the face.
I would ask you to, as part of the sentencing, to grant me 5 minutes in a locked room with this demon. Would you do that?
That is not.
Yes or no?
No, sir.
Would you give me 1 minute?
You know that I can't do that. That's not how it is.
Well, I'm going to have to get someone.
Okay, that is the sound of the dad lunging at Larry Nassar. Social media has very strongly supported this dad. The judge refused to punish him after he apologized. Do we think the dad deserves the praise he's been getting?
I'm thinking of it more as empathy. I mean, just witnessing that, you can feel the sense of, you know, the inability, a feeling of the inability to really protect one's children, and the frustration of just this entire process. And so I think the dad deserves that empathy.
Yeah, I don't know that he deserves praise, but nor does he deserve punishment. I mean, when he made the apology to the court, he said his girls had not shared these statements with him, so he's hearing it for the first time. And I think the man just was overwhelmed, and I think any parent can understand that.
Yeah, the amount of trust that Nassar destroyed over years of his abusive practices, it's just going to manifest into rage like that. And I think a lot of parents could probably identify 100% with what he did and his actions.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you nailed it. I think it's empathy versus praise. And I think we can all.
But nobody here thinks the dad should have been punished.
Absolutely not.
No.
I kind of think it's amazing only one of the parents lost it. Because how many dozens of girls told their stories? It was just awful.
Yeah, it was hard to listen to. If you're just joining us, we're hanging out in the break room. You just heard Natalie Pavelski's voice of Cater Communications. Tamika DePriest is at Emory University. Greg Williams is at the radio show Greg's List. And Stephen Turkheimer of Georgia Poll. Okay, I think we can all agree on the fact that Atlanta traffic is terrible, right? It is statistically the fourth most congested city in the United States and eighth worst for traffic in the world.
Oh, Lord.
That ranking comes from INREX, which is a transportation analytics company. It's hard to believe we're not higher in some cases. If you were the one responsible for decreasing traffic, what is the first thing you'd do?
Run trains to Cobb. Honestly, like, you could fix so much of this stuff by just getting on board. No pun intended. Actually, pun intended. Just run some trains. Also, stop running into me on my bike. These are my two requests. I think they're simple.
I would add support for and provide the, I think, couple of billion that we need for that alternate highway for trucks.
The northern, mm-hmm.
The northern arc, right?
Yes, yep. Yes.
I think the single thing we most need is a comprehensive and regional approach to transit, yep. Where it's not all carved up county by county, city by jurisdiction. Yep. And the other thing I'd love to see is, while all of that building is going on, how about a tremendous incentive for anybody who can work from home to work from home, right. Say one day a week or 2 days a week?
Yep. Well, IBM just changed their telecommuting policy and has forced everybody, well, not everybody, but many, to come back in because they found a sort of loss in the sense of team building.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, I work at home every day because headquarters is in Northern California and the commute would kill me.
Yeah. Flight would kill you, right?
You do need to take some extra effort, but there are ways to do it. At least for some work, not all work.
I would benefit from being farther from the fridge on a daily basis.
And I think we've got to triple the bus service in Fulton and DeKalb counties and modernize them, because that's really going to be the easiest solution and cheaper than the $200 million a mile that some folks want to build up to Milton area of North Fulton. If you triple the bus service, modernize it, you're going to get millennials to ride it, if you put Wi-Fi on there. There's a lot of things they can do for the Fulton and DeKalb areas who actually use MARTA. If you miss a bus right now, that can delay your arrival to work by an hour because they only run every 20 or 30 minutes.
It'd be nice to have a train to Savannah, right?
That would be good, too. We can do all those things. The thing is, if we're going to do BRT, we have to do real BRT that actually has separate lanes and dedicated lanes.
BRT means?
Bus Rapid Transit. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Thanks, yeah. Mr. Acronym. We like this.
I was trying to save time.
Okay, now let's move on to the topic. Talk about making traffic worse. This is going to make traffic worse, and it sounds like Greg Williams really wants to talk about this. Okay, Donald Trump has demanded that the Pentagon stage a massive military parade in D.C. with tanks and warplanes and troops.
Perhaps I'm what you'd call a patriot, but one thing's certain, whether I am or not, a parade. The tramping of feet. I love every beat.
I hear from the drums. Okay. The White House says the parade would be intended to honor soldiers, but it will likely cost tens of millions of dollars, if not hundreds of millions. Is it worth it?
I don't think a grandiose United States military parade, or I do think it's a bad idea for several reasons. First, North Korea, they haven't paid their DirecTV bill in several months, so they won't even be able to watch it. We don't need the Russians or the Chinese to see our arsenal. And it's estimated to cost $22 million.
Yeah.
And that money could be far better spent on something else or a novel idea not spent at all.
Yeah, one of the Navy SEALs who was on the raid that killed Osama bin Laden put it this way in a tweet, and I quote, "A military parade is third world, I'll say BS." And I agree with him. I mean, all of those Cold War images of Soviet military parades come to mind. That's not America. We're something else.
We are headed into...
She's scratching her head, people.
Yeah, I mean, we're headed into a government shutdown for the second time. And we are willing to spend $22 million on a parade that was inspired when the president went to France and saw the Bastille Day parade. So,
I'm
disappointed.
Well, what if they have the government shut down during the parade and then we just have missile launchers in the middle of the road all day? That'd be terrible. But no, in general, I mean, if you think about the United States, like, we have a civilian presidency. We are different from all these countries. We don't have a king. We don't have a general who leads the country, right? We have this separate thing. And now we're sliding into competing with these nations who we were founded in a model against. And that's the biggest thing that's troubling for me here. I mean, it seems as though we want to have sort of this superficial cover-up of what's really there in terms of, like, showing all this great, beautiful military equipment rather than sort of revealing that we are trying to just sort of justify and show this beautiful mane of hair rather than the reality of the bald spot that exists.
That was kind of gross, wasn't it?
Does it make it worse that the spending bill that just passed the Senate increases the deficit by 200?
Of course it makes it worse. Literally, the Republicans and Democrats are back to their old horse trading for their preferred spending policies, right? The Republicans get $165 billion for defense, and the Democrats get another $160 billion for their projects. And, we're still trying to figure out, are we going to have $1 trillion deficit? And after 8 years of Obama and the first year of Trump, nobody is serious about our deficit and debt.
And we still can't protect dreamers. I mean, like, the thing that most people agree on, that people actually
both
care about.
And
yeah, we can't. Yeah. We still can't get it. We can't even vote on it. Like, it's one thing if we disagreed on it and it got voted down. We can't even agree to vote on it.
Mm. All right. This is my fault that we've gotten so far afield of the parade. So let me move on. when they are finished with the Game of Thrones series, right? Game of Thrones fans here. The executive producers of that show have been tapped to create the next Star Wars film. Hmm. Now, the danger here, of course, is that they're going to bring the same style to Star Wars, and then everyone's going to die horribly in the Star Wars universe. Do we think this is a good idea?
Yeah, I think it's cool. I was one of the few of my litany of friends that are Star Wars acolytes. I actually liked the latest movie, The Last Jedi. I thought it was great to inject some humor into it, and I thought that we do need to take the story to another place. I mean, everybody still has the halcyon, memories of Luke and Leia and all that, but, it's been 30 years, and those actors, they really almost have to kill off the original actors to be able to go in a different direction. I think that the Game of Thrones direction, they should probably start off with one of the non-canon stories just to see what they do with it, but I'm a fan of seeing what they can do.
Wow, I think that's strong. I would just like to see less CGI, and I think that the Game of Thrones people might deliver that. So I'm down, right?
I am not a Game of Thrones watcher. Maybe one day I'll catch up binge watching.
That's a lot of catching up.
It will be.
It's 2 months.
I am a Star Wars fan, and I also believe in the evolution of creative, and so bring it.
I don't know. It's that Game of Thrones, I think, of a lot of sex and a lot of violence. And I mean, sure, Star Wars has always been a violent franchise, but it's not been gory, and it hasn't been very sexy when you think about it. I mean,
has Valentine's Day.
Leia was kissing two different people. I mean,
right. That's as sexy.
Why was
as
her
it
brother?
Got, right?
Yeah,
the kiss.
So I'll reserve judgment on that.
Okay, well then, let's put it out to our listeners, because I'll tell you one thing right now. There are a lot of geeks in Atlanta and in Georgia, and I bet they have opinions. So do you want to see Star Wars in the hands of the Game of Thrones producers? Let us know. You know how to reach us. It's 404-500-9457 and on the Twitter at OST Talk. We are out of time in the break room today. I want to say thank you to everybody for making it to Friday. I guess I should have done a lightning round, right? Of what story do you think should influence Star Wars? Like, if you're going to, right? I mean, clearly not Parks and Rec. That would be a completely different thing. But
like which television crew?
We've got like 40 seconds to play with.
Which television crew would you like to see do Star Wars?
Take over Star Wars.
I don't have a television crew, but I love Ava DuVernay.
Yeah, there you go.
On a Star Wars.
I'm going to say Atlanta, FX. Donald Glover's already in it, right? So he can just make this thing happen. A little undercurrent, like, what's the Star Wars we're not hearing about?
A little couch in the middle of the universe?
Yes! What happens at the bottom half of the Death Star?
Greg?
I just said I can't think right now.
You can't think of that?
Nope.
Natalie?
A little bit of The Sopranos.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, I was saying This Is Us. That's right. So that we can have the real tearjerker.
Well, good.
Right.
Everyone will die.
The producers in the control room have nominated Christopher Nolan. Get a little Dark Knight magic going.
Wow. All right.
In any case, you know how to reach us, listeners, if you want to give us your suggestions. As well, find us on social media or give us a call. Natalie Pavelski is Vice President of Cater Communications. Tamika DePriest, Senior Director of Marketing at Emory University. Stefan Turkheimer, Lawyer and Editor for Georgia Poll. Greg Williams, Mortgage Banker, host of the conservative radio show Greg's List. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Celeste.
Thank you.
Happy Friday.
And for the week that is on Second Thought from GPB News, I'm Celeste Headlee. Have a great weekend.